Eric M. Pelton, founder of Eric M. Pelton Associates, PLLC, a boutique trademark law firm in Falls Church, Virginia, is our featured guest in this podcast. Eric has been named a top 10 trademark filer by NameProtect's Trademark Insider 2 times and is the creator of Apptrony IP, an iPhone application for intellectual property attorneys. www.apptrony.com. His conversation with Ed is focused on iPhone apps for lawyers. Watch for a follow-up conversation with Eric about branding for law firms.
I have the pleasure today of talking with Eric Pelton from Arlington, Virginia. Eric, thank you for joining us today for Law Biz Management's podcasting.
I'm glad to be here with you and your audience, Ed. Thank you.
Our topic today is going to be about iPhones and iPhone applications more specifically, and even more specifically than that, iPhone applications for lawyers. The why and the how. It seems to me that one of the continuing arguments between iPhones and BlackBerries is that iPhones and Apple have developed all these applications or have made it so easy for developers to create their own applications. And that's one of their major arguments to raise them above BlackBerry. But the idea of an application for a lawyer or for a law firm is sort of a novel one, at least at this stage. What are we talking about, really, when we talk about iPhone apps for lawyers?
Yeah, there's a variety of different types of applications out there, Ed. A lot of them are just informational, sort of, here's our firm, here's some links to the bios and our address and maybe a link to the map. Then there's a large number of legal applications that are really just code or statutes, and a lot of these are surprisingly charging money for information that's pretty readily available for free online, but where you can download the U.S. code and have it in an app, or you can download the criminal statutes of a particular state, if that's the state you're practicing in. That might be something that's useful to you to have. Of course, all of this is really, the idea is to have more useful information at your fingertips. Another category of the apps is from some of the publications. ABA Journal, I know, has an app that gives you sort of easy access to their latest articles and blog posts and Twitter and those kind of things.
I guess I'm a little confused because it seems to me that each of the things that you've mentioned, from the penal code to the ABA Journal and so forth, would have a website. And if you had a laptop computer with you as you're traveling, which I suppose is the reason one might look at an app in travel, because in your office you just go to the URL to begin with. But why would you not, if you have your laptop and you are traveling, just go to the URL itself? What's the difference in having an app? What's the benefit of having an app?
Great question. I think the benefit in using an app is the enhanced portability, so that it's on your phone. It's, if you're not on the laptop, if you're standing outside of a courthouse, or you're on a train, or you're in line at the post office and you're trying to get work done, or something comes from you and you want comes to mind and you want to look something up. Or if you're on your way to, meet with a firm and you forget where their office is and you need to look that up. All of that information can be gathered either on a website from a laptop or probably from a website on a phone at the same time. But having an app makes it easier, quicker to get that information to the user, the consumer. And by doing so, by making it easier to access, hopefully then you're making them use it more, and that, benefits whoever's providing that information or providing that app in some way.
Well, I guess I come back to the idea that a phone is smaller than a laptop, and if you have an app on a phone, the print is going to be significantly smaller than it would be on a laptop, which is already small enough. How are you going to really be able to use this if you're looking for extensive language? I mean, I can understand, for example, perhaps an address or even a map on a GPS, but how does this really become useful?
Well, for one, a significant number of the apps do format it for mobile, where maybe the website is already formatted for mobile reading, but the app may enhance that or format it if it wasn't already formatted to allow you to access it more easily, read it more easily on the phone. So it's really, you know, people's style. Some people don't want to have, you know, information at their fingertips potentially 24/7, you know, because there is a disconnect and you probably don't need to look something up every time you're in line at the post office. But having that available is a nice feature. I developed an app. It's mostly for practicing attorneys. I've gotten good reception for it and found that people do use it. I find myself using it, which hopefully indicates that others find themselves using it as well. And it's really just links to resources in the field of intellectual property. And the benefit in producing this app was, one, to provide a tool that didn't already exist in a mobile platform at the time, and two, was to get my name out as sort of a brand leader, a forerunner in the industry. I have a lot of high-tech and software clients, and I'm now trying to market to other law firms. So by producing this app that would be seen and used by other attorneys, hopefully it was giving visibility to our firm's name that we didn't have in another manner.
I can understand that from your perspective, and I do a lot of the same thing because I'm a consultant and coach to lawyers, and I want to be seen as a thought leader, which I am, and somebody who's familiar with the technology and so forth. That I understand. Let's take it from the perspective of the traditional business transactional lawyer or the traditional litigator. Would they benefit from this as well?
I think if they can come up with a unique application that provides something to the user's fingertips that doesn't already easily exist in the mobile platform, that they can. That there are so many millions of people now using mobile phones and downloading mobile apps that if you can provide something that is the first or is better at doing something, that that there's a market there to be out as a thought leader, as you say, and establish yourself as a sort of groundbreaking firm. If you're just, you know, going to provide the same information that's on your website, it's probably not worth the few thousand dollars, you know, to go out there and create an app. What value is the user, the person who downloads the app, really getting from that they can't already find easily from a website, like you say? But
well,
if you're in a field, let's say you're in the field of real estate, and you can provide information calculators that attorneys in the field of real estate would use and don't easily have access to on a mobile phone right now in one place, then maybe that's a great place to come up with an app.
Good idea. Let me give you an example. From my own case, I do a blog, and it's well-regarded. It's lawbizblog.com. Would that be the kind of website, for example, that would lend itself to an application because it's continually changing?
Well, honestly, probably not, unless you're going to add some other type of information or some other value to the mobile version, because people probably can surf your blog right now. It may automatically be formatted. Like my blog is on WordPress,
mm-hmm.
and they automatically format it for mobile phone when mobile users access it. And so you're not while it's a great marketing thing to say that we have an app and you can download it. Now you're going to see Ed's picture. You're going to see Ed's logo on your phone all the time.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not really providing something that's not already in addition to what's already out there online, I'm not sure that it's worth it, you know, that you're really going to establish much by doing
okay.
it.
Okay, let's assume for the moment that we've gotten over this hurdle of why should we, or what can we add that's new and different to the idea of creating an app, and we decide we're going to create an app. How do we go about doing it? You've already mentioned the cost of several thousand dollars. Who does it? How do they get it done?
Yeah, well, you need to work with a software developer. There's lots out there. I chose to work with a local one that I could meet with face-to-face and explain and sort of see the progress. But a lot of people, you know, find them online or work with them online. You can generally find them cheaper if you're willing to shop online where there's a much bigger marketplace for it. But stepping back, before you even hire somebody to do the programming, you've really got to fine-tune what that is that we're going to do that's unique or that's different or that's not being served on mobile phones already, and who's our intended user, so you can sort of match what it is you're trying to do with who's going to use it and how you're going to market it and have a plan, basically a sketch for what this application is going to do and who's going to use it. Then the developer and the programmer can help you fit together what the application itself should look like. I actually had an idea for what I thought it would look like beforehand, but that as I worked with the developer, we changed that and we added to that and we dropped some features and added other features, keeping in mind, again, what is it we're trying to accomplish here and who do we think is going to use this and what would be useful to them.
Okay. Well, let me go back for a moment to the idea because of what you just now said. And let us say that Twitter has the 140 characters and you put up tips of the day for your practice. Would this be like a saying of the day? Would this be something, or of the week, would this be something that would be good for an app? Because it's constantly changing, it's new, it's not set up anywhere else? Or that kind of thing is not worth the expense?
Yeah,
of
again, I'm skeptical on that because you can already use a mobile Twitter app to follow somebody's Twitter feed. Or you can even, you know, create a short link on the phone to a person's Twitter feed. So it still doesn't have that step of adding something that's not already out there. Now, maybe if it was, you know, Ed's picks for the best blog posts and the best Twitter information for the day that comes from a variety of people that you are engaged with, and it comes from different sources, and you're going to aggregate all of that in one place, and it's sort of Ed's repository of LawBiz news. That, you know, and it's a new sort of online mobile phone journal, let's say. That could be an interesting idea that is making something new out of stuff that maybe already exists in a variety of different places, but the new thing is you're putting your editorial skills and you're grouping them all into one easily accessible place to your community.
Okay. Well, we've got the idea. We've worked with a developer to create it. Now, how do we launch it?
Yeah, so I think launching is the most important thing. Every day there are dozens, if not hundreds, of new apps being launched, and it's hard to stand out among all of that traffic. Now, obviously, you're going to broadcast it to your own newsletter, your own community, your own website, people that are already engaged in your communications, and you're not going to have much difficulty communicating it to them. But if you're trying to reach a larger audience, which was certainly one of my purposes, you need to find out how you're going to launch this to stand out. And so I submitted it to a couple of magazines or other blogs to try to get them to review it that were within the specific field of intellectual property law. And I timed the release, in my case, for the biggest trademark law conference of the year, an international conference that has 5,000 or 6,000 attorneys attending it. So I timed the release to take place a couple days before the conference started so I could try to generate some buzz, a press release, and then carry that into the conference where all of these lawyers were already networking and speaking with each other and be able to plug it there. And it worked with some success. In hindsight, I'm sure I could have done a lot more and a lot better. Of course, the difficulty is juggling the marketing with everything else we do day to day.
Right. Okay. Well, we've got it launched. We've done well. Now, how is it that we're going to market this on a regular basis?
It's it's a series of follow-ups, just like anything, creating a routine or a schedule on your calendar that says, okay, every 3 months, let me submit this to another couple blogs or follow up with the blogs that didn't yet mention this, or let me repost it in a summary fashion in my newsletter every few months or on my blog or on a social media pages. And that's been quite successful in that because those communities and those audiences are always growing, you have to reintroduce some of that old material to the people who might just be seeing it for the first time. And that's been successful because in the first few weeks of the application, it had maybe 200 or 300 downloads, and that was in May of this year. But since then, it's been downloaded another 700 or 800 times to where now it's over 1,000 downloads. And so you have to keep putting it out there, keep putting it out on blogs and on Twitter and in press releases, and eventually it'll get picked up and have this long tail of you know, it only takes one very successful blog that has a lot of readers mentioning it to really put a spike in the success and the amount of downloads.
And of course, it only takes one client as a result of that effort to make it all worthwhile.
That's a great point to bring it full circle. You know, I spent about $4,000 or $5,000 on the development and the production of it, and the marketing, and obviously spent some of my time, not a huge amount of time, to put it together and help work with the developer. And it's putting me in front of a new market, helping establish me as a thought leader, helping give me credibility to existing clients who are in the software and application development field to say, I've been there, I've done that,
right.
You know, so I can understand what you're going through from a business and legal perspective, you know, hopefully even better than some of the competition. And if I do, if I get one or two new significant clients out of it, it will absolutely have paid for itself. And I have had many clients and many other attorneys, you know, come up to me and say, that's really cool that you did that, and you know, we've been following that and very impressed. And I've had at least one other firm contacting me about working together with them to develop an app in their field of specialty. So it's paying off.
Absolutely. Well, Eric, I want to thank you for helping us see a little bit into this new world of apps. And as time passes, it's not so new anymore, but it's still different, and I think lawyers are still just beginning to get their hands and minds around this whole thing. So again, thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure, Ed.
You have been listening to a Law Biz podcast. For more podcasts, please visit www.lawbiz.com/podcasts.html. You can read more about this and other topics from the business of law at www.lawbizblog.com, or start your own discussion about this topic at www.lawbizforum.com. Join today. Feel free to tell your friends and colleagues about Law Biz Podcasts. You may duplicate this program in part or in whole, provided that you retain appropriate attribution and copyright notices.